Bianan. That's about the only thing I know in Taiwanese, so I'm just going to get that over. So may the peace of Christ be with us all as we listen to his word today. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you today wanting to hear from you, wanting to receive your spirit. And so will you convict us, Lord, of our sinfulness? And will you let the light of the gospel come into our lives and bring life into us? And so, Lord, as we honor the mothers today, may they know of this love so deeply. May they experience your love in a very intimate way, Lord. And this is our desire, Lord, for all of us to come to this understanding of your great love for us. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it was 2 years ago that I first came here, and I came here to honor my mom. I thought it was going to be a one-time thing where I just come, honor my mom, and then go back to the church that I was attending. But God has his ways of drawing me back day after day and year after year. It's been truly a blessing to have fellowship with CCOC and also with FPCOC. And I just want to say thank you to both churches for working together and giving me this opportunity to speak with you and to open up the Word of God and share with you. So praise God for being faithful in giving us all a place to worship together. And may we continue to humbly serve in the places that he's called us. So first, I want to wish all the mothers here a happy Mother's Day. There's so much that you do that goes unnoticed, and I'm sure as children, we take a lot of things for granted, and we don't say thank you when we ought to. So I want to just honor and recognize all the mothers here and say thank you for everything that you do. And can we all give all the mothers here a round of applause? Okay, so today I want to take a look at the life of a mom that's found in the Bible. There's nothing terribly interesting about her. She didn't command an army. She didn't heroically rescue anyone. She wasn't the wife of anyone famous. She didn't perform any miracles. She was a typical mom that would encounter a tragedy and respond to it the same way that most of us would respond. So our text today is found in Ruth chapter 1. And I invite you to open up your Bibles and read along with me. I don't think it's going to be on the slide, so go ahead and open up your Bibles. One of the main characters is a Moabite woman named Ruth, who's known for her unselfish devotion to her mother-in-law. She would later be rewarded with a good and faithful man named Boaz, who would not only marry her, but redeem and buy her mom's property that would have otherwise been lost. But we're not going to look at Ruth today. We're going to look at the life of Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. So let's pick up the story in Ruth chapter 1. Verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, We will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and they gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, which means bitter in Hebrew, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Naomi, her name means pleasant. She's an Israelite woman who cares deeply for her family. We can see in verses 8 through 13 that she loves her daughters-in-law. She didn't want them to suffer. And we can also see something true and real about her faith by her influence on Ruth's faith. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God, Ruth tells Naomi in verse 16. Ruth had to have seen something special about her mom's God to want to follow her. So here we see a pleasant woman who loves her children and who loves God, just like so many mothers in here. And I just want to take the time right now to tell the moms that what you do for the Lord matters greatly to your children. When I see my mom walking with the Lord, serving and loving the family, it encourages me, it inspires me, and it makes a difference. When I was a little kid, I remember this one night that I couldn't sleep because I was watching some show on TV. I think it was about a haunted house. And so my mom told me, you have nothing to fear because Jesus is with you. And they're such simple words, but what comfort that brought to my little heart. Such simple words have tremendous power. And as an adult, she doesn't tuck me into my bed anymore. And I don't need her to comfort me as she's done before. And I hope that she doesn't feel useless. Because don't worry, Mom, you're not useless. I still enjoy your home-cooked meals. But the difference now is that I see her relationship with the Lord growing. And the Lord has made her wiser and more humble through the years. And I see her love and her patience for me and for the family. And I notice all that she does, and I'm truly thankful. I don't express things outwardly all the time, especially to my parents. And I don't do it perfectly, but I do have a deep respect and honor for my mom. So moms, know that your relationship with the Lord matters. And being the salt and the light to your children is the greatest gift you can give them. So let's go back to the story of Naomi. Naomi experiences tragedy. She lost her husband and she lost her two sons. But she also had a love and she also had a faith that we would expect to carry on. So in that moment, wouldn't you expect her to start singing, "It is well with my soul"? Well, we don't. Instead, as she enters her hometown, Bethlehem, with Ruth, she bellows out to all the women there, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune against me." She didn't say, as Job said when his blessings were taken away, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Or as the prophet Habakkuk prayed when the day of calamity was at hand and there was no sign of prosperity in sight. She didn't say, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Instead of praise, there was just bitterness. So what happened? What happened to her faith? Where was her gratitude to all the past blessings that God had given her? Why didn't she victoriously overcome this tragedy? And so here is the simple answer. The simple answer is that she is a daughter of Eve. You see, Adam and Eve, the first man and the woman that God created, had a perfect relationship with God. They had perfect free will to enjoy fellowship with Him. But they sinned against God by the first act of disobedience, and they forfeited and sold that fellowship to the devil, and the course of history changed. Pain and suffering would be brought into the world, and all of Adam and Eve's descendants would be born into sin. And that includes you and me. Not only do we see sin and corruption out there, we see it in here, in our heart. This means that we all have a sinful nature and that there's no one righteous, not even one. Not only did Naomi experience the tragic death of her loved ones, she couldn't respond to it properly because there was bitterness in her heart. What's bitterness? Bitterness is what we feel when we think we deserve better and we don't get it. We start feeling bitterness. And that's just the natural response of our hearts. We would like to think we're better than that we're above that. But the scripture says that our heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I'm sure we've all experienced some kind of loss. If not the loss of a family member, maybe the loss of a close friend, a job position, financial security, reputation, health, a free lane on the freeway when someone cuts you off and you lose it. It could be anything, but we've all experienced loss. And how do we respond? Usually we go beyond just grieving. We start holding feelings of bitterness. And we're quick to complain and have feelings of resentment when our happiness is threatened. Perhaps without knowing it, we're directing that bitterness toward God. In her bitterness, Naomi had forgotten the story of Joseph. Do you remember Joseph? He also went into a foreign country. He was sold as a slave, was falsely accused by an adulteress, and imprisoned for doing nothing wrong. Although his brothers meant to harm him, God meant it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. That's Genesis 50:20. In her bitterness, Naomi had forgotten that it was the Lord who had taken away the famine, which gave her a way back to her native land. That was in verse 6. In her bitterness, all she could see was that the Lord brought her back empty. But the Lord has always been good. It was her mind that was clouded. What about Ruth? She had totally failed to see Ruth as a precious gift and a blessing from God. If she could only see what God has planned in the days ahead. You see, a new day is dawning. And we get a taste of that in the last verse of this chapter. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. A new beginning was on the horizon. The problem with Naomi was that she was nearsighted. All she saw was the loss of her husband and her sons. I don't want to downplay the tragedy of a loss. I know a lot of us go through pain, and there is legitimate reasons to be sad and even to hold a little bitterness. But I just wanted to point out the cause of bitterness. The cause is often our sin. It's our obsession with our own well-being and our happiness. It's that sin that separates us from God. We think that life is all about me, not God. The world revolves around me and not God. This has always been humanity's biggest problem. Left alone, we are all dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And we, according to the Bible, are slaves to sin. But praise God that the barley harvest is beginning. He could not leave Naomi in that state, and he would not leave us in our sins. His plan of salvation started from the beginning, and he revealed it immediately after the fall of Adam. It looked like Satan had triumphed. The liar and the deceiver succeeded in destroying the innocence of man and breaking off the intimate relationship that they had with God. But the Lord would have the last word as he spoke these words to the serpent, Satan. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Genesis 3:15. This was the first prophecy recorded in the Bible. Eve's seed would turn out to be the Savior of the world, who would come to save us from our sins and bring us back to God. And though Satan would temporarily inflict pain upon him, the Savior would crush Satan and end his reign. When Adam and Eve sinned, God's plan wasn't set back. God was never frustrated, and God is never frustrated. We aren't living out a plan B. You see, God wanted something more than just innocent man. He wanted to show his glory in bringing about redeemed man. In the New Testament, we see the overflowing joy of the Father when the prodigal son returns. We see how the shepherd is happier over finding one lost sheep than the 99 that didn't wander off. And because God is infinite, he shows his attributes in the greatest way possible. So God's love, his mercy, and his grace is magnified more through the act of redemption than it is without redemption. So we fast forward from the time of Adam and Eve back to the time of the judges, to the story of Naomi and Ruth, and we see that the same God is still at work. He's still fulfilling his plan to redeem mankind. As the story continues, Ruth goes into the fields to glean for barley, and there she met a man named Boaz. When Ruth tells her mom later that evening everything that had happened, Naomi responds, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also says to her, "This man is a close relative of ours. He's one of our redeemers." Do you see the ray of hope that God gives to Naomi? Do you see the rays of hope that God gives to each of you? I pray that our eyes would be open to the countless blessings of hope that our God gives us, the blessings that help us press toward the goal. So, Boaz, he takes Ruth under his care, and then in chapter 4, he marries her, and she bears a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who's better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took this child and laid him in her lap and cared for him. Naomi's bitterness was taken away and her joy was restored. For a moment, Naomi was experiencing a sort of redemption. What she lost, the Lord restored. However, this redemption story is nothing compared to the greatest redemption story still to come. This child that Naomi laid in her lap, his name is Obed, who would become the father of Jesse, the father of David. David would become the greatest king of Israel, a king after God's own heart. And this great king would ultimately point to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who would be a descendant of David and known by the Jews as the son of David, who would come into this world to be our kinsman redeemer. Naomi wasn't aware of this when she lost her husband and her two sons, but her story would play a part in the greatest redemption story ever known to the world. The greatest act of redemption in all of history came when God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, the same town God brought Naomi back to. Do you see how God is working and continuing to work, and nothing foils his plan? Jesus went to the cross to pay the ransom for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose victoriously from the dead. We're like sheep. We've all gone astray. We each have turned to our own way. We've all chosen death over life, sin over righteousness. And our sins require punishment. And this punishment is the eternal wrath of God. So how desperately we all need a kinsman redeemer. And we praise God that he did not leave us alone to die in our sins. He sent his own son to be our kinsman redeemer. The word became flesh so he could become our kinsman, our brother. He came to redeem us from slavery to sin and death. We sold ourselves to the world and to Satan, and our kinsman redeemer came to purchase us back. How did he do that? The Bible says that we're not purchased by perishable things like gold or silver, but we were purchased with the precious blood of Christ. He bled and died for you, that you may not die, but have eternal life in him. Jesus said in John 5:24, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. A new day has dawned." Do you see yourself dying in your sins and realize that without a Savior, you have no hope? Do you see the love of God in sending his own Son to die on the cross for you, to take your punishment, to bring you hope and a new life? If you hear his word today and you believe that Christ has come to redeem you from your sins and you put your faith and your trust in him, you now have eternal life and you no longer will be condemned. You have crossed over from death to life. So will you take your time to get to know this gospel well? I want you to marvel at this redemption story that God has spoken through his word. Learn that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And he has been in control since the beginning. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 9 through 10. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and his grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I hope this is a great comfort to you, especially during times of bitterness and times of doubting God's goodness. As we come to know the gospel more and know the God who is the author of the gospel, we will see that joy awaits us. There may be dark thunderclouds in the sky, but the sun is still shining brightly right behind it. And moms, I hope you will remember the story of Naomi and be encouraged when you go through seasons of trials. See how God loved her and honored her by giving her the privilege of caring for the granddad of King David. God has proven through his word that he has been working for your good since the beginning. Only put your faith in him and believe what he's promised. We, like Naomi, didn't do anything deserving of being redeemed. It's only by God's purpose and his grace that we are alive in Christ. And if it's God's purpose and grace to save you, to give you new life, you can be confident that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. As you look to him and believe in his promises, you can expect that your bitterness will turn into joy. So with the gift and blessing of new life that is given to you, simply trust and follow him. Ruth declared with determination to her mom. She says, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay." So may we, as God's children, declare to him the same words, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay." May we, as the bride of Christ, follow him because he has bought us with his precious blood. Let us follow him because he's worthy and because he's faithful. He is our kinsman redeemer who will lead us safely home. Amen.